Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money and you want your money to start working harder for you right now. You want that freedom, cash flow, and prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to live that life that you love, being with those that you love, doing what you love. And most importantly, guys, it's not just about getting rich. It's about creating a life of meaning by creating rich relationships and richness of life by creating a ripple effect through the lives of others. Guys, thank you so much for allowing me to bless your lives and be a ripple effect, create a ripple effect through you. Again, thank you for binging, sharing, and doing all the things that you guys do, especially when you implement these things and make changes in your life so that your ripple effect can create a legacy for you too. Hey guys, quick reminder, you know, if you haven't been there already, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe right now. Go to the Money Ripples with Chris Miles page, subscribe there, especially where if we've got things that we do that are visual, we want you to see it. So make sure you go and subscribe there today. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, guys. So I got a special guest here with us, Kevin Nichols. Now, Kevin, I've known for several years. I even had him on this podcast probably a few hundred episodes ago. So for those of you that haven't binged back far enough, I'm going to do you a favor. We're going to bring him back again, right? Because the truth is that, you know, when it comes to life settlements, right? That's a topic that so many people don't even understand. And Kevin is the master of this. Kevin is the managing partner at what's called Penumbra Solutions, right? His Penumbra Fund, they invest in life settlements. But here's the cool thing. They target low double digits, like 10 to 12% target with no market risk. No worry about these premium calls that you will hear about today and everything else, right? It's about getting that money working for you in as much of a safe manner as possible with great returns. And as we talk about in the show, you don't have to take high risk to get high returns. It's how do you create the lowest risk possible to get the highest returns? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So Kevin, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be with you. I love your opening.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yep. Well, you're embodiment of it. You're doing it yourself too. You're creating a massive ripple effect in your industry, in your life. You've been doing a great job there.
We've been very, very blessed. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So give us a little background on you. I mean, I know you're in Texas, but you know, tell us a little bit more about you and what got you into this business in the first place.
Sure. Well, you know, we live in Texas. So we've been here 20 years and was raised in Southern California, went to Cal State Fullerton, spent the majority of my life out there in the insurance business, financial advising, and came out here for some opportunity to invest in a business and what I thought would be an absentee ownership situation was not. So had to come out and literally put hands on it in order to make it work. My partner was my brother-in-law and he was, anyway, long story, but we came here. And so that was kind of a side business that I invested in. That's what brought us out here. We continued in the financial planning business at insurance. And my business partner and I used to offer fractionalized life settlements as an alternative investment to people for their money they didn't want to put at risk in the market. And we both invested in them for many years and had great success and had family members who had invested in them as well. And we decided, it was funny because one day we were on the golf course, probably the only day that we've played golf together ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we both, I got a premium call, which is if you own a fraction of a life settlement, you have to, you may have to pay premiums. Just like if you own real estate, you're going to have to pay taxes. So I got a premium call, one text while I was on the course. And at the same time, he got a text and I said, oh, you get a premium call. I said, no, I just got notice of a maturity. And I said, man, this is nuts. You know, you just won. I just lost. That's okay. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, part of doing business. And so I said, you know, wouldn't it be good? And we had, I don't know, between us, maybe 8 or 10 fractions of policies. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we could pool our policies together into like a fund. And so we could when one person had a victory, the other person got to share in the victory. And when one person had to pay a premium, the other one shared in the burden. It would kind of even out the cash flows. And so I said, you know, in fact, we could probably bring some of our other family members who own fractions and kind of make a little pool. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know, you know, but let's look into it. So we thought, let's take a look. And so we started researching it. And son of a, I mean, everybody said, no, you can't do it. And I thought, you know, this just doesn't make sense. Why can't we? And so we kept researching it and finally came up with a way that we could do it. And so we did it. And our first fund was in 2010, I think. And it just exploded with my dad was our first investor, a lot of family members, and it was primarily for ourselves. And so when we set it up as cheaply as we possibly could in terms of fees. There's no ongoing fees in the funds at all. And so once we did that, the second fund, 2011, it just was getting bigger. And toward the end of the raise for the 2011 fund, we had an advisor say, hey, you know, I got a question for you. If I'm referring you my clients, you know, and they want financial advice, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to send them back to me, right? I said, of course, I would never, you know, we would not, you know, we wouldn't breach that trust. Yeah. So we decided at that time, basically, that we were out of the financial advising business. Now this is all we've done. These have kind of consumed us. And so this is all we do. We have private equity funds that we run about one a year, and we invest in senior life settlements. Senior life settlement is a life insurance policy that a senior citizen no longer wants, needs, or can afford. Probably doesn't have any cash value. And so they sell it to us. We buy it. We pick up the premium payments, and when that senior citizen passes, we collect the death benefit.
Yeah.
Sometimes we allow them to retain a portion of the death benefit. That's called retained death benefit policy. Sometimes we buy the entire policy. These are all universal life policies. Now, we do own a few whole life policies, but from the standpoint of a life settlement, universal life or a whole life policy is really not what we're looking for because they build cash value.
Right. Now you have to save them.
Exactly. Right. So now from the standpoint of, you know, whole life policies, we love them. We both own them.
Yeah.
But for our purposes, universal life is perfect. These policies usually start as term life policies, and they have what's called a convertibility rider,
right,
which allows the insured to convert it from a temporary policy to a permanent policy, you know, at a higher premium, but that premium is known. And so, we can then make an evaluation as to whether or not we want to buy the policy based upon the life expectancy of the insured, and then put it into our fund. The average age of the insureds in our funds is over 92 years old, which is very different.
That's gone up.
Yeah, it has.
They're getting older and older, aren't they?
They're getting older and older. Exactly. And people ask us, you know, where do you find these policies? You know, we'll look at 5 policies and buy one. They come to us. We have brokers, attorneys that bring them to us. We don't ever go looking for them directly. We don't ever have any hand-to-hand or face-to-face. You know, everybody's kept at arm's length. We always have an intermediary.
Because obviously you don't want to know who these people are. And then, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw that. But yes, you're exactly right. I mean, that would make for an interesting movie, but that's not something you want to, you know, you want to be accused of. So no,
yeah.
we don't ever have any face-to-face contact. We do know, of course, exactly where they live because we have the information from the policy, but that's all kept very secret, along with, mm-hmm. Under HIPAA and other things.
Yeah.
We don't ever divulge that, but yeah. And then when the insured passes, we collect the death benefit and we distribute it amongst the owners of the fund. Yeah. It's really a simple investment. And one of the things that works for us is that there are life settlement funds out there. Most of them focus on people between 75 and 82 years of age, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because they're able to commit more of the capital to the policy and not have to commit as much capital to premiums. If we have a $10 million raise, we will only deploy probably $6 million into the marketplace to purchase policies. We'll have to hold back 40% of what we raise. For most companies, that doesn't work because their overhead is such that they have to invest 80 to 90% of it. So they can't really compete with us in looking at these policies.
Right.
So we don't have a problem doing that. So if we were to raise $10 million, a typical fund, in fact, this fund that we're in now is on this track, and our previous fund, Fund 9, did this. If we raise $10 million, we are going to end up typically with death benefits in the range of, say, 40 to 45 million. So about four to four and a half times our money. So now some people will live long and that will of course eat into the yield. But if we can keep that ratio about 4-to-1, then typically what will happen is at the end of the term of the fund, which is say 8 years or so, generally what's going to happen is investors are going to end up with say 3 to 3.5 times their original investment back. It will have never been exposed to the marketplace. We can't touch the money. We have a third party custodian, intermediary. They handle all the money. They also handle all the premium money there. And there we have millions and millions of dollars. In fact, it's Bank of Utah, which is right there where you are. But we have a great partnership with them. They handle all the money. We don't have access to the money. We can't touch the money. An interesting thing is in this business, what we do is we are buying our growth in advance. We know exactly what we're going to make on every single policy. What we don't know is when we'll make it, when we'll get paid. If you've got someone who's average 92 years old, 93, even 90, how long will they live?
Yeah.
So,
A lot of times the policies will mature at age 100 anyways, right?
Well, some do. Now we will, and if they do, we look at them differently. If the policy will no longer pay after age 100, so we probably will avoid those. But if we like to get them, some of them now are age 105, age even 120. So it doesn't matter. Some policies, the policy, you don't have to make premium payments after age 100, but the death benefit will remain until the person passes. We love those.
Right.
The truth is, it's very, very seldom that someone lives that long. Mm-hmm. Even though we as a society are technically living longer every year, the number of people as a percentage of the overall population that live beyond age 95, 96 has not gone up in 100 years. So it's funny. We a lot of people ask, what has COVID done? Has that really helped you? And the answer is no, it hasn't at all. In fact, it's probably, if you were, carry it out statistically to the eighth digit, probably hurt us, because what happens is, we find that people are gathering up grandma and grandpa and they're bringing them home, or they're making sure they've got better care. And so we haven't had any really, hasn't really had any impact from COVID at all.
Yeah. That's what I've noticed as well. Like most life insurance companies are like, nope, steady as she goes. Things are pretty much the way they've been, or if not better,
It's funny. And that's, we use, in our analysis of a policy, most companies have to rely exclusively on, medically underwritten life expectancy estimate.
Yeah.
Which we do too. We use those as well. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with someone who's 92, how long will a perfectly healthy 92-year-old live? Truthfully.
They could die tomorrow.
Exactly. Every fund, we've had policies that have matured in the first year. In fact, we've had several policies that have matured in the first month, which is for us, I mean, that's an absolute windfall. Yeah. Obviously, that's not the norm.
It's not the norm. Yeah.
We don't expect that. But anyway, yeah, it's we don't have to rely on the medically underwritten life expectancy estimate because we really put much more weight on two actuarial departments. One is the CDC, because our actuarial department is obviously enormous. Mm-hmm. But even more so is we use the VBT tables. And VBT mm-hmm. are the valuation basic tables that all insurance companies use as their actuary or their actuarial database, which is everybody in the country that is insured, which means that they're healthier, basically. And yeah. so they're even more conservative. So we use those more than anything else in making a buying decision.
Interesting. So, I mean, so kind of sum this up, right? I mean, you're basically buying life insurance policies from people, right? You're just buying
it. Yes, we are.
Helping them pay their premiums. Sometimes they'll even get yes. some of the death benefit, which is a great perk if yes. they get it.
Absolutely.
But then, of course, then, you know, whenever they pass along, you get the death benefit, which is usually a lot bigger than the premiums you're paying, which is ideal.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's the plan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I know some people, especially with a lot of my clients, they'll say, holy cow, this is such a cool thing, but I feel almost guilty, you know, because you kind of want the person to die. You know, like that, I feel this conflict within me because I feel yeah. it's kind of morbid, right? It's a little, yeah. it's a little crazy. How do yeah. you respond to that?
You know, it's funny because we do get that from time to time. Some will say, oh, this is morbid, or are you pressuring grandma to sell their policy? And the answer is absolutely not. These people raise their hand and say, yeah. hey, I can't afford this any longer.
Or and they might even need more cash too, right?
Exactly. I'd rather have the cash, you know, that I can live my life on it. So, you know, we tell yeah. them, look, that you have several options. One is see if, you know, if there's cash value, what's the cash value? Maybe it's worth just, you know, surrendering the policy for cash value, but most of these policies have none. The other thing is ask the insurance company if they want to buy it. There is the biggest player in this industry who buy more life settlements than any other entity. It used to be Buffett. He used to be the biggest. He's still a significant player, but the biggest is AIG. And AIG actually through another company, subsidiary there, they buy policies from other, you know, they buy senior life settlements, which is interesting because here on one hand, you have the company that is issuing insurance policies. And then on the other mm-hmm. hand, you have a company that is buying those policies. Right. It almost would seem like a conflict. It's not, but it's, yeah. it is interesting. They are our biggest competitor. You know, the beautiful thing about it is we tell people this, it's not for all your money. It's only mm-hmm. for that portion of your money that you cannot afford to lose. Our growth is we buy it in advance. That's all. It's very simple. It's a very simple concept. A lot of people, when they invest, they think, okay, do I get monthly statements? You can check, you can log in and check your monthly account anytime you want. There won't be a change. There won't yeah. be any change until somebody passes and we distribute the money.
Right.
Other than that, it's just sit and wait. It's just yep. sit and wait and watch. So that's the beautiful thing about it.
Well, let's talk about your Penumbra fund, right? Because you're now on Penumbra 10 or Penumbra X, right?
So PX, yes, Penumbra 10. My partner,
right, PX.
My partner likes to get creative with the way he names the funds. But yes, we are on fund 10.
It's a good thing he can count. So obviously it's an accredited investor only fund. So, you know, meaning, you know, you have to make at least either $200,000 or $300,000 a year, depending mm-hmm. on how you file your taxes. Or you have at least $1 million of net worth, not including your home equity, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
we can take up to 35 non-accredited investors. This is a Reg D Rule 506B fund for anybody who is interested. Yeah. So we can take up to 35 non-accredited investors. The main thing is, you know, we can also take sophisticated investors, and that's someone who does mm-hmm. not meet the accredited investor standard, but meets a minimum net worth standard.
Yeah.
The most important thing for us is this the right investment for the investor? If it's
yes.
what I tell people is this, because someone will ask us, you know, well, how much should I put in? Or, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll tell people this, look, if you know that you're going to need this money inside the next 10 years, mm-hmm. don't put it here
right.
because there's no liquidity provision at all.
Yep.
This is a growth fund. It's not an income fund.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't invest it. But if you're comfortable with letting it sit and not touching it and not having to worry about somebody touching your money or, you know, the market going up, down, or sideways. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect place for that. And we have people who put 100% of their money in. We have people who put 10% of their money in. We have some very well-known family trust money from the East Coast that if I mentioned, you would know immediately who they are. Mm-hmm. We have people who have come from offshore to invest, although when they do that, they have to, you know, they have to follow certain guidelines from the IRS. They have to have a US-based entity that has an employer identification number so that it can be taxed, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's a perfect vehicle for that. If they have self-directed IRA money or self-directed 401k money, we have a lot of physicians, a lot of attorneys, business owners, who put their money in through various vehicles, cash, of course, a lot of cash. So it just depends on the investor.
I totally agree. That's one, I'm glad you brought that up because many of the times people say, well, is this good for me? Because these are really like solid returns. You know, like you got a great track record. And even just on a personal basis, knowing that you charge a lot less fees than your own competitors that have offered to pay me more money to promote them on this podcast. Right.
Yep.
And I'm like, nope, like I want the ones where they get the better, where the client gets the better return, not me, right?
Well, it's funny because our fees are set up like this. I'll just tell you exactly what they are. Up front, we charge 1.5% as an organizational and offering expense. And that's a reimbursement to us for setting up the fund, for paying for the legal, the accounting, the printing, the custodial fee we have to pay in advance for the whole life of the fund. Then our management fee is on the back end. We get 2.5% of whatever matures. So we get paid when your investors get paid. Yeah. And we don't have any ongoing fees at all. Nothing. We don't have a minimum. We don't have an annual maintenance fee, nothing like that. Now we were using Provident Trust for funds 1 through 4. And then in fund 5, we switched over to Bank of Utah and we were able to negotiate a better fee for custodian work.
Right.
And so when we did that, we could have pocketed the extra money. It was only a quarter of a point, but a quarter of a point is a quarter of a point. So we decided to lower the fee. And man, we got so much heat from our competitors. What are you guys doing? You're charging too much. You're making us look bad. You're leaving money on the table. Are you guys idiots? Mm-hmm. Clearly we're not, but thank you. The reason we charge the fees that we charge is we invest right alongside your investors. My dad invests in every fund. And the interesting thing is the last person I want to have to explain my fee structure to is my dad. So we've never raised our fees. We never will. It's always been the same and we're not going to change it. So it's very, very low. You've got 1.5 on the front, 2.5 on the back. That's a total of 4 points over 8 years. What's that average? A half a point a year.
Right.
I know some funds out there that are competitors of ours that charge as much as 2% up front or 5% even, and they get 20% of the back end. And some of them even get a point a year for managing it. To me, you know, that's just, you know, there's an old saying, pigs get fed, but hogs get slaughtered. And I think they're just being greedy. You just don't need it. So,
right. I agree.
Fees have always remained low.
Well, yeah. It's always nice to get those returns back, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and you brought up a good point too about if somebody has IRA money, right?
Yes.
And I know with my own clients, like I keep forgetting sometimes to say this, that if they have a self-directed IRA and their time horizon is about 10 years or longer,
Absolutely.
This could be a great fit to be able to invest, get very solid returns in growth in that money. Have you ever had people do anything with their college funding, their college savings?
Yes, we have. But the thing is they've got to make sure most people, we have, and we still do. They have to be far enough ahead of the game to, you know, invest the money. And then it has to have gone one turn through a fund. So 8 to 10 years, and then use the money to pay for college, or they need to be able to cash flow the cost of college while they wait for this to mature.
Cause they're waiting for it to mature.
Exactly. Right. Look at it as an offset, you know, or a hedge in truth. I mean, I used to be a bond trader. I mean, it's a perfect hedge. So if I'm going to be paying X over here and I can grow at Y over here, and this is substantially better, obviously I can put as much money as I can here and cash flow it or defer the payments on the other side.
And have you ever had them use 529 plans actually?
No.
Or is it?
No,
I figured you can't with any state.
Nope, not at all. 529 plan is a very, very specific plan. The investment options for that are extremely limited. They allow one, I believe they allow one or two moves per year.
Right.
Now that we can't use any of that money, but a lot of trust money for college, mm-hmm. a lot of family trust money. It's a great vehicle for wealth transfer. Not from a tax standpoint. We don't have any tax leverage at all. I wish we could, but we don't.
It's going to bring up tax benefits.
Yeah. Yep. I wish we could, but we don't. So yep. if you're going to have to pay the taxes, then, you know, the best alternative, of course, is make it grow as much as you can. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, this is a great vehicle for Roth. If you have $100,000 in a traditional IRA and you're considering a Roth conversion, right. don't do it until you talk to us, because we can save you actual, you know, generally on $100,000 IRA that is going to be converted to Roth, we can typically save the average investor between $8,000 and $12,000 of actual hard cash that they don't have to pay in taxes.
That's great.
Yeah, it works beautifully. So, but it's a great vehicle for Roth. And I've got a white paper that I wrote on it, how to do it, why to do it, why it works so nicely through the fund I'm happy to send people.
That'd be great. Yeah. I know I actually have clients of mine that actually just did a backdoor Roth or looking into doing backdoor Roths and things like that, even especially if they're going to get rid of them, which might happen. We don't know. But they've talked about trying to, you know, play with our little IRA and Roth IRA systems, right? You know, it'd be good to see what advantages we can take advantage of. So
exactly. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate your time. I know we went longer than we usually do, but there's such great information here that we can definitely have. Obviously, if somebody wants more information, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
Best way to contact me is either on the phone or via email. We have a 12-minute video presentation, which admittedly is a couple of years old and dated, but it gives an outline, and our contact information is on that. And it's www.thepenumbraplan.com. Penumbra is spelled P as in Paul, E, N as in Nancy, U, M as in Mary, B, R, A. Plan, the penumbraplan.com, and it'll ask for their information. What's their first and last name, who referred them, and what's their email address. And then they'll have the opportunity to watch the video. It will ask for a password, and the password is all lowercase penumbra, P-E-N-U-M-B-R-A. They can reach me directly at Kevin at Penumbra Solutions with an S on the end, penumbrasolutions.com. They can call me directly at 817-479-9770. We are about 10 minutes to the west of the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. If they're in town and they want to come see us, I'll pick you up and you can come visit with us direct, you know, in person, and see behind the scenes of what we do.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll be sure to put all that in the show notes, because definitely, guys, recommend, if that's something that's really speaking to you, say, hey, you know what, I think this might be a part of my plan. Great. Reach out to them. You know, find some more information. Obviously, we're not recommending any investments on this show, but definitely feel free to reach out to Kevin through his website or through phone or email, like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
So, well, Kevin, again, appreciate your time and your generosity and the information. Really, really valuable today. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Anytime, Chris. Good to see you again. Good to speak with you, and you know, all the best.
Absolutely. And everybody else, hey, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.